Welcome. This is Luke Behrings with a podcast on leadership and things related. On the first day of the COVID-19 lockdown, it was March 17th, here in France, I planted some seeds. Now, today, about 7 weeks later, I'm looking at the growth rate, and I'm sure in a couple of weeks we will be eating lots of beans, broccoli, zucchini, and pumpkins. And it's fun to watch them grow and see those seeds turn into something you can actually eat and enjoy. It also makes you think how natural transformation and breakthrough comes to nature and how hard it sometimes is for organizations and for leaders. But why talk about transformation or breakthrough now? I mean, when so many are struggling just to survive this global crisis. Well, actually, just because of that. In times of crisis, most of us fall back on old patterns and reflexes. Leaders develop tunnel vision, focus on the acute problem at hand. But certainly now it is crucial to confront those old patterns and to assess how we shape our response to the crisis in such a way that short-term decisions will not be harmful later on. Or even better, that short-term decisions now actually help us build a new future. Because I have 7 reasons most organizations will fail to transform and miss the opportunity to come out stronger. And here they are. The first reason is plain and simple, a lack of experience in breaking rules. I mean, many leaders are just not used to doing that, to being challengers of the system. Let's be honest, in most organizations, that's not the way to boost your career. Instead, what they do know about is following the rules, and later on in their careers, of course, enforcing them. And breakthrough is exactly the opposite of that. It depends on breaking rules, on challenging the system, on making creative leaps. So many leaders just do not have the experience it takes to break through. And believe me, no shipload of academics, I mean telling them how to do it, can make up for that lack of experience. So there's my first reason. Just a lack of experience in breaking rules. And how do we build experience? Well, by doing and trying and learning and adapting along the way. And forced by the circumstances, now might be a very good time to start doing just that. The second reason is an addiction. Organizations are built for consistency, predictability. We need risks to be minimized. In other words, all the things breakthrough is not. Breakthrough implies challenging conventions and traditions and culture. So per definition, that's the opposite of risk minimization and being predictable. I mean, lots of systems and processes like budgeting, planning, forecasting, performance reviewing, I don't know, pipeline management, they cannot deal with breakthrough because they're not built for that. Under normal circumstances, many people in organizations spend hours a week number crunching to get a forecast in on time to their superiors. The next week, the same thing, and the week after that. And then at the same time, they also are planning when to time which internal email to which stakeholder, just to make sure everybody in the internal system stays happy. People feel the need to cover their back to be predictable, even, or maybe especially, in times of crisis. You know, maintaining or regaining control is one of those reflexes we fall back on. Now, breakthrough in that setting is just counterintuitive. It's risky and risks need to be avoided. You know, I worked for a company, actually in transformation, that created an internal checklist of indicators to measure the success of the transformation. It featured hundreds of checkpoints. I mean, the very existence of such a list is implicitly the opposite of breakthrough thinking, a breakthrough change. Even the breakthrough had to be somehow predictable. So the second reason for failure, a company's addiction to consistency and predictability. Well, today, in the middle of this crisis, there is none of that. So why stay addicted to it? Many of us already feel the withdrawal symptoms, and they hurt. But they could also drive leaders to kick the habit once and for all and take the leap. The third reason. I mean, great things often start with really putting a customer first, second, and in the center. And that can only be done effectively by people in customer-focused roles. In interaction with your customer, that's where you get the best ideas. But you do need a broad overview of what your company is capable of, and not just in-depth knowledge of only your own silo. I mean, if you zoom in too much, you just don't see the big picture. A couple of years ago, I had 2 sales teams from different segments in the same company, and I had to facilitate them to find areas of possible cooperation. None of the salespeople had an overview of their whole product and services range. So it turned out they needed the whole morning just to explain to each other what they were doing, how things worked in their segment. They had no clue what the others were doing or what they were capable of. The ability to see opportunities and imagine solutions that cross the borders of your own small corner in the organization, that is where breakthrough changes come from. Customer-obsessed instead of bureaucratic. So the third reason most organizations will fail to break through is yet another addiction, the addiction to silo or segment thinking. Now the solution, of course, lies in better cooperation between teams. And maybe now is the time to ban infighting, people fighting for their own silos, and to rally and inspire our teams to really come together. The fourth reason lies in another addiction. Basically, everything an organization does is translated into numbers and abstractions. We're addicted to them. Spreadsheets, slideshows, graphs, forecasts. They are never about customers as people having faces. They're about customers translated into statistics or trends or KPIs and whatnot. But successful breakthrough doesn't come from adding up numbers and projecting them into the future. Successful breakthrough comes from imagination, from creativity, empathy, passion. And those are fueled by really connecting to real people, not to numbers. And maybe now is the right time to do just that. Lose the addiction to numbers and abstractions and focus on customers as people again. Reason number five, individual contribution and individual results are difficult to measure in a team. Now there's a nice paradox for you because breakthrough is so often a team effort. The greatest leaps forward will be coming from the seemingly smallest remarks. Team members building on each other's ideas, fast, creative. In 10 minutes, nobody will remember who came up with the original idea. That's often how it works. In a team effort, you need everybody to be in there fully. Believe me, you don't want people to worry about performing better than the next guy because of a bonus. Now, maybe now is the time to get rid of that old reflex and reward teams for coming together instead of individuals for their personal performance. I know that from an early age on, we have been conditioned to rely on ourselves and we're just not good at sharing responsibility, and that most internal systems are built to measure and reward individual performance. But I also know that mastering a crisis and really transforming is, in the end, a team effort. So let's start embracing the wisdom of teams, as Katzenbach and Smith named their groundbreaking book on teamwork. I have two more reasons, and both are more of a personal kind. They're about a state of mind I've found in individual leaders. The sixth reason is a personal risk aversion. In breakthrough transformation, not many things are certain. It's like it is scary, exciting. It consists of ups and downs, and it comes with lots of risks. The outcome is not sure until it is. I've literally heard people in leading positions say, "I'm not going to risk my job on this adventure." Now, with leaders being personally risk averse, breakthrough will fail. But the risk of failure is right in front of many at the moment, as we speak, whether we like it or not. So we might as well make the most of it, because just pretending it's not there is not wise. Okay. In normal times, I had seven reasons, but the circumstances kind of solved reason number seven, which is there needs to be a sense of urgency. If leaders don't feel a compelling urgency to embark on a journey of breakthrough or transformation, it'll just not happen. If leaders think they can wait it out, catch up with competitors later on, or stand by to see how things will unfold, that will have dire consequences. Now, my guess is that many leaders do feel that tremendous sense of urgency right now. Well, put it to good use. Assign a team of people to work on the new reality after the crisis. Give that team a room to maneuver and make it a separate team, not involved in the daily operations. Most of your people will be fully involved in responding to the challenges the crisis has put you in. That's a task that needs full attention, but so does preparing for the new future. Fight the old habits and reflexes and aim for the best. Build experience as you go along. Fight the addictions to predictability and numbers. Forbid the silos thinking and start rewarding team results. That might just be the smart thing to do.